All right, Psalm 119 and verse number 1. The Bible said, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly." You can be seated tonight. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we come before you. I'm thankful for the opportunity we've had this evening to come in the house of the Lord here in this midweek service, as Lord, is our appointed time in the middle of the week to, Lord, come out from among the world and gather in with the people of God around God's Word. And Lord, we're thankful for what we've already been able to have by way of fellowship and singing some songs about Jesus and your grace and the blood of Christ. And Lord, all these the songs tonight, Lord, have just done something in our heart, and we're thankful for that. Lord, we've come tonight as well to study the Scriptures. Lord, I pray this evening for a few moments, would you please help us and give us a touch of God that we need. Take us beyond our tired mind and tired body. Lord, I pray this evening that our inward man, Lord, would be touched to the Lord. Fill us, Lord, as we try to preach the Word of God. And then, Lord, I pray you'd work in the pew tonight as well. And may the things you have for us be for our edification, our encouragement, for our correction, for reproof. And Lord, all that we need spiritually tonight, may we find it in the word of the Lord. And we'll thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We've been studying for several weeks now Psalm 119. Last week we begun by diving in verse by verse as we have taken large looks at this psalm, this particular psalm, and the truths of it. One of the things that we understand is this is a psalm of praise for the Word of God. This is the psalmist David's exhortation. He is telling you and I about what the Word of God means to him. And he's not going to be able to contain that in a handful of verses. He spends 176 verses magnifying just how great the Word of God is in his life, and what a psalm that this is. One of the ways that we looked at this psalm, we kind of pointed it out in a broad view, and now that we're working our way through verse by verse beginning last week, is that we noted that in this section, there are 22 sections in Psalm 119. And the heading, there's a heading found above every one of those sections that divides it according to the Hebrew alphabet. And that is very significant as we give consideration to the subject matter of the Word of God. And the Hebrew alphabet is not, it's not like our own. It's, some have called it the golden alphabet, heaven's language. And we do understand and believe that it's the oldest alphabet that is known among mankind's history. And what is unique about the Hebrew alphabet is that every letter has a symbolic meaning to it. And we come here to this first one is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph. That is the heading of the first eight verses. Aleph bears the symbolic meaning of an ox. And we'll rehearse some of this for those who's not here last week. And what we're deriving from these headings and these symbols and the meanings of the letters that they take upon them in each section, a symbol of the Word of God to the life of the believer. And Aleph, bearing that meaning and symbol, that emblem of an ox, it teaches you and I the Word of God is like an ox. And we said last week, the ox is known for its strength. It's a strong animal. It's a service animal. And we think about the Word of God and its power and its strength and how it ministers to the world at large, but in particular God's people. And what a emblem of the Word of God to you and I this evening. How strong is God's Word? And we're thankful that we can stand upon it. You say, how strong is it? When Jesus said, heaven and earth is going to pass away, He said, my Word's not going to pass away. And it's an ox, it never wears out. It's an ox, it never loses strength and never knows weariness. Thank God for the Word of God. And all the ways that it ministers life to you and I, ministers joy to you and I, provides to you and I things we could never find anywhere else in all the world save the Word of God. And so the Word of God is like an emblem, like an ox. In this section of verses, the ox, we said last week, is a packing animal, is a beast of burden. It can carry heavy loads that men cannot. And we think about the Word of God and how we can take our burdens to the Word of God. And somebody texted me today asking for prayer and was saying, I don't know what to do with what I'm going through. And I challenge him about the Word of God. Take your burdens to the Word of God. And the Word of God can sustain you in your time of burden. And the ox is not only a packing animal, but it's a pulling animal. Because of its strength, it can pull great loads over long distances. And we think about it being a pulling animal and the emblem of that to the Word of God. And how that, my friend, the Word of God's been pulling the church for 2,000 years and sustaining God's people even longer than that. And we're not here tonight because of our own strength and because we pulled ourselves up and pulled ourselves along. We're here tonight because of the ministry of the Word of God as an ox pulling us when the load would be too great and the distance too long for you and I. As a pulling animal, we think of an ox being able to pull things out that are stuck in the mire. And how many times do we get bogged down and we get stuck maybe in some mired situation? And thank God for all the times the Word of God has pulled us out. Amen. You'd be mired up tonight. You'd be bogged down. You'd be stuck tonight. Had it not been for the Word of God being able to pull you out of where you were. How many bad seasons? How many trials has the Word of God pulled you through? And we give God the glory for that. It's a plowing animal. When we think of the ox, it's a plowing animal. When connected to a plow and used by the plowman, the ox breaks up the hardest of grounds and in preparation for the sowing of seed. And ultimately, by the ministry of that ox being hooked to the plow, literally it is the ox that is responsible for the fruit and the harvest time that will come. And we think about the Word of God as an ox tonight. And plows up the hardest of our hearts, the hardest of our spirits, the hardest of our minds, preparing for the seed to be sown into our life and a harvest and a fruitful season to come in time. And if we bear any fruit tonight, I've got news for you. It won't be because you and I was super duper spiritual. It'll be because of the ministry of the Word of God, plowing our life, turning over and cultivating areas of our life, the plowman being the Word of God, being the man of God, taking the Word of God and busting up the fallow ground so that you and I can be, amen, fruitful children of God. Ain't you thankful for the Word of God tonight? The ox is associated, we said last week, to get us to our thought. And when we think of an ox, it is associated in our minds with that of a yoke. That's where it has its pulling. That's what is used so it can pull and plow. And even in the sense of packing, there is this implement called the yoke that is that connecting implement linking the ox
to that it is pulling or that it is plowing with. And when we think of a yoke, oftentimes we bear in mind in the most common yoke is a dual yoke or a twofold yoke in which you have one ox that is linked to another. And oftentimes it is an older, stronger, wiser ox that is connected to a younger ox. Dare we say a weaker ox. And we said last week, we'd even dare to say one that was dumber. Amen. One that was not as wise as the old ancient ox. And we think about that and how it would train that younger ox how to plow and how to make it. And we considered what Jesus said. Jesus, being the living word, gave the invitation that those that are weary and heavy laden, that they could come to him. And he said, take my yoke upon you. And that's the picture that he's painting. That of an older ox and a younger ox taking upon ourselves his yoke. And he said, and learn of me. It's in the yoke that we learn. It's in the yoke and our connection to Christ, the living word, that we're able to learn, that we're able to be taught, that we're connected to things that we need that only Jesus can give. We think about this in the written word and the living word and the association, amen, of the Bible to Jesus being the word from eternity past. We do learn here there's a connection to what Jesus invited to, what David is going to deal with in these first eight verses. Here's what he said. Verse number 7, Psalm 119, verse 7, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. And so the ox, as the word of God, there is a yoke that connects us to the word of God. And so we begun this thought on last week on yoking your life to the word of God. Yoking your life to the word of God. It is an ox and it is strong. And it's got power that you and I do not have, and wisdom that you and I do not have. And it's got abilities and a proven ancient track record that it never fails, it never falls short, it never falls down. And that you and I should be yoked to that. Our lives should be yoked to the Word of God, so that we might learn to live the Christian life that God has saved us to live. Now, we thought about this from the Word of God, Deuteronomy 22:10. And in the law, God said, you're not to put the ox and the ass in the same yoke. That if there's going to be a connection, if there's going to be connection, there's got to be like nature in the animals that are going to be brought under the yoke. And we think about that this evening, that if we're going to yoke our life to the Word of God, and we must have been born of the Word of God and have the nature of the Word of God abiding within you and I. I was talking the other night, and Brother Mark was, I forget even what we was talking about. Amen. Preachers calling their congregation different things. And Brother Mark said, yeah, and our pastor, he calls us all kinds of things. Amen. I've called y'all dogs and preached on being dogs and snakes and wolves. Now we have oxen and asses. Amen. And this evening we think about that if our lives are going to be yoked to the Word of God, listen, you can't be natured like a rebellious ass. You cannot have the nature of something that is stubborn and something that is bent on going its own way. Only those who are natured to the Word of God will ever be able to bear up under the yoke of the Word of God. And so many, I believe throughout the years of pastoring, that we've tried to fit them and yoke their life to the Word of God, or get them to yoke to the Word of God, only to find they don't fit in the yoke. They're not natured for the yoke. and connects him to God's holy word. And so they're constantly bucking it. They're constantly trying to throw it off. They're constantly trying to break the bands and the bonds. And God talked about that in Jeremiah 5:5, when he talked about the yoke and his people, indicting them with having broken the yoke off of them. And I say tonight, if you're saved, you have a nature on the inside of you that desires to be connected to the Word of God. And desires to be under that yoke. That finds being connected and yoked to the Word of God. It is not grievous. It's not a burden. Amen. Jesus said, amen, if you are natured for that yoke and you take my yoke on you, he said, it is easy and it is light. Why is it when we go talk about what the Bible says and we talk about what the Bible wants us to learn and the boundaries that it sets on our life in that yoke that people go getting aggravated and that, you know, it's just so hard to be a Christian. That's not what Jesus said. Amen. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And if you have the nature, if you have a nature, the Word of God on the inside of you, amen, you ought to desire to have your life yoked and connected to the Word of God. Amen. And so I thought about this, that yoke. I didn't write this down, y'all. Y'all know if I don't finish something in one service, it just grows in my mind. I didn't give this to you last week because I just got it. Amen. Yesterday and today, I've been thinking on that yoke. Amen. Yoking your life to the Word of God is an ox. Amen. It is a learning. The yoke is a learning implement. Amen. That's where that an older, stronger ox is teaching the one that needs to learn. And so it is learning it in that yoke. And then I thought about it being a leading implement. Amen. That younger ox is actually being led in that yoke. Amen. In that straight line, plowing a straight line. You know what we need in this hour? We need preachers that plow a straight line. And we need God's people that plow in a straight line. And you say, well, how do I know? How do I do that? How do I take a crooked life and a crooked mind and even a crooked fleshly nature? Preacher, how do I take all of that is crooked and walk and plow a straight line? Amen. The Word of God is an ox, and if you yoke to it, amen, it will lead you to walk and plow in a straight line. I thought about the yoke. I thought about it being a leaning implement. Amen. I remember Brother LeVon Boatner. How many of y'all remember Brother Boatner? Brother Boatner was known from preaching that text and the invitation of Christ to take my yoke upon you. Preach the classic message on being yoked to the master. And he talked about in that yoke and the yoking of that younger ox, that smaller ox to that bigger ox. There is that big ox. He can just go all day long. And at the end of the day, you look back and you see the field that's been plowed. That at the end of the day, it's just that younger ox leaning into that yoke. That my friend, he didn't plow that on his own. In fact, he had very little to do. He gets wore out. He's not used to those long days in the field. And yet he makes it. You know how? Because he's able to lean in upon the strength of that one that has been plowing for so long. I think about that this evening. Amen. Ain't you glad we can lean in on the Word of God? Amen. In that yoke, we're learning, and we have leading, and we have leaning. That my friend connects us to the Word of God. I'm thankful tonight. The Word of God's like an ox, and that I can yoke my life to it, and I thank God can be benefited from the ministry of the Word of God to my life. So it's a learning implement. It is our thought of yoking your life to the Word of God. Said, preacher, what does that have to do with these eight verses? Hey, man, we think about yoking your life to the Word of God. Here's what we learn when we stay yoked to it. And I'll just mention it, I'm moving on. Verses 1 and 2, we see that we learn something about the blessed life.
Amen.
Hey, man, you want to be blessed tonight? If you want to know something about the blessed life, you're going to have your life yoked to the Word of God. And so the psalm begins appropriately. David's going to spend 176 verses writing about the Word of God. And here's where he chooses. And his letter, the Holy Ghost, to begin. Amen. It is with blessedness in mind about the Word of God. Blessed is used to begin both verse 1 and 2. And literally the entirety of the psalm. And it means literally happiness as a spiritual bliss. It's always used to interject an immeasurable joy. And the term blessed is only used to describe that immeasurable joy that only God's people can know. And so being blessed is not for the drunkards tonight. It ain't for the liberals tonight. It's not for the heathen tonight. Blessing, the blessed life, is for God's people. And if you're going to know something about the blessed life, child of God, it ain't going to be yoking your life to what the world thinks and all their philosophies and all their tradition and all their ways and yoking yourself to the latest post that has been made on social media. If you want to know something about the blessed life, yoke your life to the Word of God, and it will learn you in the blessed life. Amen. Amen. The Scripture satisfies saints. And our bliss as a believer is directly connected to the Bible. That is what David is saying in verses 1 and 2. And this blessed life, being yoked to the Word of God, it involves an undefiled path. Amen. The blessed life involves an undefiled path. Verse number 1, it involves an undistracted protection. In verse number 2, keep his testimonies. And it involves an undivided pursuit. That we are to seek him through his word with the whole heart. And I won't re-preach all that. Number 2 tonight, verses 3 through 6 quickly. Notice with me, when you yoke your life to the Word of God, you'll learn something about the blameless life. Not only the blessed life, but the blameless life. In verse number 3, here's what David said. He said, they also do no iniquity. Why? Because they walk in his ways. And so this verse is declaring tonight that those with a life yoked to the Word of God, what kind of life do they live? They live a holy life. They don't live an unholy life. They don't live a life marked with habitual sin. They don't live a life, my friend, going and walking according to the dictates of carnality and worldliness. David said, when you are yoked in your life to the Word of God, here's the life you're going to live. It's a life that is lived in holiness. The old timers used to tell us, and all that needs to be brought back out again, said through the years, and needs to, amen, be said on tonight. Sin will keep you from the Word, or the Word will keep you from sin. That is exactly what David is saying in verse number 3. Amen. That there is only one of two ways your life can go. And if you'll get your life in the Word of God, amen, the Word of God's never going to lead you to iniquity. It's never going to lead you to sin. It'll never justify and lead you and learn you that adultery and fornication and pornography is okay. It'll never lead you, my friend, to lie and cheat and steal and con. It'll never lead you to get drunk and buy lottery tickets. Somebody say amen. Amen. Why? Because the Word of God, amen, always learns us about the blameless life. Amen. And oh, how we need holiness magnified in this day. Amen. Somebody told me years ago, said talking about running down really some people that was in my first church, and they weren't right about everything, but they had a desire to live a holy life, and that agitated that carnal crowd. And some of that carnal crowd, they'd come trying to talk to me and run them down. They'd say, well, they're so heavenly minded, they ain't no earthly good. I said, I ain't ever met somebody that minded. Amen. I ain't ever met nobody so heavenly minded, there's no earthly good. I've met a bunch of folk who were earthly minded that was of no heavenly good. Amen. And I ain't ever met, I understand Phariseeism and legalism and those matters. I'm not talking about that. Amen. But I am talking about they ought to be magnified in our life. And it will be. And you can't hide it. And you can't ignore it. And you can't do any other way. Amen. Then live a holy life when your life is yoked to the Word of God. Amen. It's amazing all the justifications people make for sin. Amen. They blame the devil. They blame their spouse. Amen. I've got a letter in my desk. Amen. Of people blaming me for the sin they got in. You listen. Amen. I'm telling you, we can sit and we can argue till we're blue in the face, but at the foundation of all those lives and the problems of those lives is simply this tonight. Amen. Somebody's not yoking their life to the Word of God. A Word of God will keep you from sin if you'll stay yoked to it. Amen. I believe that's right. Amen. Amen. The blameless life. Amen. When you are yoked to the Word of God, it learns us in the blameless life. And there'll be a realization. There'll be a realization that David marks in verse 4, 5, and 6. I see and there's the realization, the requirement of diligence that is involved. Amen. It's not just having your Bible under your arm when you come to the house of God. It's not even in reading your Bible every day. That's a part of it. That's a good place to start. I'm certainly not criticizing that tonight. But it goes beyond just reading, and it goes beyond just carrying it to the house of God. There is a requirement. If your life's going to be led and learned in the blameless life, you're going to have to be yoked to the Word of God. And there is the requirement of diligence that is involved in that. Watch what he said in verse number 4. Thou hast commanded us. The Bible said, thou hast commanded us. We don't like that. We don't like being told what to do. But David said, amen, part of being yoked to the Word of God is understanding God has some commands for our life. And these commands are not to be, amen, taken with a grain of salt. They're not to be looked at as options. Amen, we call them the Ten Commandments, not the Ten Options. Amen. They are commandments upon our life. And by the way, there's more than 10 in the Word of God. And there's many commandments that the Word of God instructs us in. And if we're going to live a holy life, if we're going to be learned in the blameless life, there is a realization we must come to of the requirement of diligence, because David said part of this command to keep God's commandments is that we've got to do so diligently. So many give very little diligence to their spiritual life. Amen. This is more than trying to talk and sound spiritual every now and then. This is a daily, on purpose, I've got something God commanded me in my word, in His Word for my life, and so I'm going to be diligent about fulfilling this and working this out. And sure, there's days we fail. Sure, there's days that we fall short. But I'm telling you tonight, diligence will get you back up. And diligence, my friend, will keep you going off. And diligence will keep you from compromise. And if you understand and realize the requirement of diligence, your best friends and even your family can turn on God and compromise. And you'll stay right where you've always stood. You'll stay right where the Word of God has commanded you to stay. Because you don't do it for friends, and you don't do it for family, and you don't do it for pats on the back. You do it because you realize that your life can't make it without the Word of God and the precepts that are there. Amen. The requirement of diligence in verse 5, there's the realignment of desire. Oh, not so much, it's really a letter, but it's an expression. It's the groaning of a soul. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Notice, this would be the first exclamation point found in Psalm 119. As if David has now had it dawned upon him. And there is this desire that is on the inside of him to be realigned. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. And David is saying, I want my desire to be in line with what God's word desires for my life. I'm wondering tonight, what do you desire? Where is the O of your life? Where is the direction of your life headed? What steps are you making tonight? Where is it that you desire to be? What is it that you desire to be? What is it that you desire to become tonight as a child of God? Do you have any spiritual ambition in your life that would be in alignment with what God's Word says? There's nothing wrong with desires to make money and desires to obtain some things in this life and enjoy things in this life. Hey, man, I don't believe God saved us to live boring lives and to live lives that, hey, man, we just barely grunted to get by. I don't believe that's necessarily the will of God. And a lot of that's in the will of God and how God blesses some and lets others live by less modest means or whatever. Amen. But there's nothing wrong with having some temporary desires while you're in this life. But I'm asking you tonight, where's your spiritual desire? Where's your eternal desire? What do you want your life to be? How do you want your life to count for God? Does it count for God? Well, I'm saved, preacher. I'm going to heaven when I die. But you ain't dead yet. And you ain't in heaven yet. And you've got a life that God has saved that, and He wants the honor and the glory out of. And David said, the Word of God, it is Aleph, it is like an ox. I want to be yoked to it. I want to learn something. And if I'll stay in the yoke, it'll lead me and direct me. And my desire is now conformed to the Word of God to live a holy life. Amen. It seemed like most people's desire is to see how close they can get to the boundaries the Word of God sets for our life without crossing. Amen. How carnal can I be and not be too carnal? How far can I walk from the line without being too far from the line? When are we going to get the place? I'm about to start meddling. We got to go eat ice cream. I'm done at 8 o'clock whether I'm done or not. But I'm telling you tonight, when are we going to get the place? Brother Mike, I promise I'm done at 8, all right? Amen. When are we going to get the place? We get a desire that says, I don't want to look at how far I can budge the boundaries. I want to look, and I've got a desire to see how far can I go in this thing of holy life, holy living. Amen. When are we going to realign our desire to be in tune to the Word of God? Amen. And then I like this one in verse number 6. I see in this yoking our life, the Word of God, in the blameless life that it learns us in, David speaks of a realization, the removal of disgrace. I love this. He said, then shall I not be ashamed. When? Amen. When I yoke my life to the Word of God, When in that yoke, it is directing my steps. When in that yoke, I'm getting serious and diligent about living a holy life and cutting this out and cutting that out and putting this in and putting that in and just selling out lock, stock, and barrel and not let anything in my life that would grieve the holy life that God has saved me to live. Then, David said, shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. David said, there ain't no shame. You don't have to pillow your head at night, amen, saying, oh, the regret. Oh, no, if you'll yoke your life to the Word of God, there'll be no red face. Amen, there'll be no shame brought upon your life. There'll be no shame brought to our testimony as God's children. I said on last week, and if you'll yoke your life to the Word of God, amen, you won't have to stand in front of your family and say, I'm sorry I ruined my testimony, that I got immoral, or that I stepped out of line. You won't have to stand in front of the church and make public apologies for decisions you made and walking away from, by the way, the covenants that we make with one another as a church family around the Word of God. And we've made covenants together. And those covenants, Brother Jack, they revolve around the keeping of God's Word. And I'm telling you, listen, amen. Now, I know we mess up. I know people mess up. Amen. I'm not belittling anybody that has. I'm going to tell you something. That's hard when you've stepped out of the way and in shame, you got to stand up and say, I just got to apologize. Amen. And most people, Sister Marcia, who end up having to do that, they thought yoking to the Word of God was hard. And sometimes maybe it is. But I tell you what's harder than that is when you don't and you got shame in your life and you got to bear that shame and live with that shame and live with that regret. That's harder than just yoking your life the Word of God in the first place. Amen. Amen. I've watched them get sideways. There's a woman in our first church got caught in immorality, and we had to go through the process of church discipline, and it got out publicly and in the community is awful. And she come to stand in front of the church, supposing to make an apology. And she said something like, don't y'all judge me. I'm sorry, but don't y'all judge me. I thought, who in the world does this cat think she is? Amen. That's somebody with no shame. That's somebody who ain't been broken in heart about what they've done. Don't judge me. What do you mean don't judge me? We're supposed to be yoked the Word of God, and the Word of God has already judged it. Amen. Amen. That's good preaching, Pastor. I'm meddling now, ain't I? Amen. You say, preacher, what do you mean? And the yoking our life to the Word of God, it will, amen, it will involve the blameless life, and there'll be a removal of disgrace. Amen. I don't want to disgrace my church. I don't want to disgrace my family more than anything. I don't want to disgrace my Savior. Amen. And if you want to live a life where disgrace is disgrace and shame and regret is removed off of your testimony, you're going to have to yoke your life to the Word of God. Amen. Amen. And then there's the boastful life. It's 8 o'clock. I got to quit. Amen. The blessed life, the blameless life, verse 7 and 8, the boastful life. Let me tell you, when you yoke your life to the Word of God, it won't lead to pride. If it does, something's wrong. Amen. The Word of God humbles God's people. Amen. Sometimes we get too big for our britches in the yoke, maybe, and the Word of God's got a way of humbling us down. The psalmist's life being yoked, the Word of God produced humility in him. Amen. He didn't come out the end of this section bragging, look at how strong I am. No. His boastless life was evidenced in his praise to God. Verse 7. Amen. Let me tell you about the crowd who praises God. They are those who are yoked to the Word of God. They praise God because they realize all the glory belongs to Him anyway. Amen. His praise to God. Lord, I could preach there. I see His promise to God. Verse number 8, humble people make vows to God. I will keep thy statutes. So that sounds pride. That ain't pride. That's humility. That's saying, Lord, you know better than I know. Your word has the answers I don't have. So I'm not going to live my life on whims and feelings and emotionalism. I'm going to live my life keeping your word because your word knows what I don't know. His promise to God, his prayer to God in verse number 8, he said, oh, forsake me not utterly. Here's his humility. Lord, I'm going to do the best I can to keep your word and keep my life yoked to it. But Lord, when I mess up, Lord, please don't leave me. Don't walk off and leave me. Amen. Please stay connected and help me recover. Can I tell you tonight, amen, even when we fall short of keeping our life yoked to the Word of God, I'm thankful the Word of God is always there and always present. Amen. To say, come on, we talk about getting pulled out of the mire, to pull you up out the mire. Amen. And keep you, my friend, walking on serving the Lord. Well, amen. There's the ramblings of the first 8 verses, yoking your life to the Word of God. The second letter's the letter Beth, and it means house. The Word of God, we'll see, will be like a house. And we'll preach that in a couple weeks. I won't be here next Wednesday, so it'll be a couple weeks, but we'll study that next section. Talk about the Word of God like a house. Ponder on that some. It'll be a help and blessing.